Hello, everyone. Welcome. Today is Tuesday, April 11th, 2023. I am Solid Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. And to anyone listening on other platforms, welcome and thank you. Much appreciated. Welcome, welcome. Hey, Frankie, how are you? Good to see you today. Juju, welcome back. Welcome back. Hey, Savage, it has been a while. Welcome. Welcome. Minnesota. David, welcome back. David, everything is going well. Thank you, Frankie. Thank you. But I also have those silent people who don't say anything. Hey, Lizzie. Welcome, welcome back. Okay, y'all, so today, we got a little deep yesterday. Guess we're going to get a little deeper today again. So today I want to talk about karma. And first of all, do you believe in karma? And before we go on, I want to give you guys what the Hindus say is the definition of karma. So I'll be posting it on both platforms. I'll post it first over on Podbean, and then I'll post it over on YouTube. So we'll all be looking at the same thing. All right, so the Hindus say, wait, hold on a second. Let me get it over to the other platforms. Okay, so the Hindus say that they define karma as the relationship between a person's mental or physical action and the consequences of that action. And I guess when most people think about karma, you know, you think about if you do something to someone or, you know, you think a certain way, then those things will come back to you. And Juju says that they believe in karma. I also believe in karma. I believe in karma 100%. I believe in the things that you do to people, good or bad, will come back to you. I do believe if you think happy thoughts about certain things, then those things will happen to you. And I say that because karma has come back to me. When I have thought, you know, bad things about people, you know, they have come back to me, you know. And the thing about karma is, hey, Ace, welcome. The thing about karma is when it comes back to you, if you're being honest with yourself, you know exactly why that particular thing came back to you, especially if it's something on the negative side. And for my karma, when my negative karma came back to me, I knew exactly what it was, what I did, when I did it. And to me, the thing with karma is it doesn't necessarily come back to you the next day, the next week. It may come back to you years from now. It may come back to you, maybe not through you, but through your children or, you know, someone, you know, a friend. But I do believe that karma does come back. On the other hand, I also believe when they say, you know, if you do a good deed, something good will happen to you. I believe that too. You know, I'm not going to say that you're going to win the lotto, you know, and have millions of dollars. But I do believe that when you do good, it also comes back to you. And when it does, you know why this particular thing is happening to you. So some people may think that, you know, I'm wrong. Some people may think that I'm right. Some people may live a life where they've had a lot of bad things happen to them and nothing seems to go right. But I do believe that even those people, even though nothing seems to be going right, that there are good things that do happen, but we're so focused on the negative that we don't see the positive. We don't see the good things in between the bad things. So I'm hoping I'm making sense there. I think I am, but who knows? You know, you know, karma is, you know, they say that, you know, that there are 12 laws of karma and how they affect our lives. And, you know, again, this is what the Hindus think. But, you know, one of the laws is humility. You know, how humble are we? And I do believe that all of us, no matter how much of an ego we have, at some point of our life, we have to be humble. You know, not that we should be, but we have to be. I think that things happen where, what do I want to say? I think things happen in our lives, again, that almost force us to be humble. You know, you have to take a look at, you know, a second look at what you did or, you know, what you didn't do, you know. But I think that life forces us to be humble. You know, that person who is just ego, sooner or later, something's going to happen to that person that's going to force them to be humble. Because you can't go through your whole life just being a narc, well, even though some people probably do, but do they really go through their whole life of being a narcissist, egotistic, you know, thinking that they're it, you know, without something happening to them that forces them to, you know, let's bring you down to earth. So I truly do believe in, karma. And I believe that, like I said, when it comes back to you, it's going to come back. It is going to come back. And, depending upon what you did, whether it's good or bad, you are going to know why that karma popped up at that particular time. Hey, power girl. You know, so one of the other laws of karma is the law of responsibility and taking ownership of what happens, including, as they say, negative stuff. Like we all want to say, oh yeah, it was us who you know, found the cure for cancer, and it was me who, you know, saved everyone from that burning building. But are you also going to take responsibility if you were the one that caused that building to burn? You know, are you the one that caused that accident? Are you the one, you know, were you texting, you know, on your phone and you caused an accident? You know, do you take ownership? Do you take ownership, you know, if you're in school and you get a, you know, bad grade on a test? Was it because you didn't study? Do you take ownership, or do you say, oh, well, I couldn't study because, you know, you find all these reasons for why you didn't do it, as opposed to just saying, yeah, you know, it was my fault. You know, and that can be whether, you know, you're in an argument with someone, whether, again, if you cause an accident. You know, if you're consistently late for work, is it going to be because your alarm didn't go off? Is it because it was a lot of traffic? Yeah, we all run into traffic, whatever. But if you know that, you know, on your way to work, you're going to run into a lot of traffic, maybe you should leave an hour early. Maybe you should find a different route. You know, so that's the law of responsibility. And thank you everyone for liking the show, much appreciated. Okay, and then another law is the law of force. What are we forcing ourselves to do? Now part of that, some people say that hold on, let me just make sure I'm reading this correctly, that some people claim to be multitaskers. You know, I used to say that I was a multitasker, but I'm not. You know, I can only do one thing at a time and do it well. I mean, you know, yeah, you can, you know, read a book while you're, you know, eating, whatever. But in terms of, you know, trying to do certain things at the same time, are we really multitasking, or, you know, are we just rushing through, okay, well, hurry up, let me do this, let me do this, let me do this, and everything is half-ass? You know, so for me, I used to say that I was, you know, a multitasker, but in reality, for me at least, I'm not. You know, there are some things that you know, that need your attention. And then some people say that, you know, the more you do, the more that gets done. And I'm, again, referring to the law of force. But is it the more you do at the same time? Or is it each task that you do separately that you're actually getting something done? So the other law of karma is the law of giving and hospitality. Okay. Basically what that is practicing what you preach. Do we practice what we preach? You know, some of us do, some of us don't. Some of us do sometimes, and others, we, you know, yeah, so, okay, yeah, we, yeah. You know, I say that I'm going to do this, and, you know, well, I'll do it later, whatever. But do we really practice what we preach? And that's, you know, and that's in a lot of things. Not, you know, if you say that you're going to help your, you know, mother wash dishes, do you really do it? Or do you say, hey mom, you know, I'll do it later, you know, I'm about to go out? You know, if you promise someone that you're going to help them with something, do you help them or do you not? You know, Can you really say that you practice what you preach? I think a lot of us can and do, but a lot of us don't. You know, so, you know, again, that's the law of hospitality. So again, it's like karma affects us in different ways. And again, anybody, you all are really quiet today. This is a really quiet group. Hey, Shelby. You know, karma affects us in different ways. So, when you look at the 12 laws of karma, and I know I didn't go through all 12, but I think that each one of them does play a part in our life at some point. At some point, you know, but I truly do believe that karma, some way, somehow, is going to come knocking at your door, and you can refuse to answer it. But, you know, depending upon what that karma is and how it's playing out in your life, you're not going to be able to. You know, and the 12th law of, and I know I'm jumping around in terms of the laws of, karma. The 12th law is law of significance and inspiration. That we all have value to give. We all are unique in some way, you know, and when we don't, you know, use those gifts that we have, is that a bad thing? Hey, Taurus, welcome or welcome back. You know, there are some things that may seem unimportant. You know, you may not tell your friend that you love him or her. And I'm not, when I say friend, I don't mean in a romantic way. I'm talking about, you know, that you tell your friends that you love them or you know, that you really like them or whatever. You don't tell your parents that. Your parents don't tell you. You know, do we have gifts that we're not using? And a gift that could be just so small and insignificant, that may seem small and insignificant to you, or maybe to someone else. But are you going to let someone else tell you, you know, that you shouldn't use your gift because you're not curing cancer? You know, you could be that person who stands on the corner every day at 10 a.m. and every time somebody passes by, you say, have a nice day. You know, so, again, I believe that karma is real. I believe that karma will come back to you in some way, good or bad, but it is coming. So, and Shelby says karma is a real thing. Welcome, welcome, serotonin. Welcome, welcome. So, so Shelby, I'm not, if you want to come up, you can come up, but, you said karma is a real thing. So has it come back to you in a negative or a positive way? You know, and again, when I say that, karma comes back to you. Again, like I said at the beginning, a lot of people think of karma coming back as something in a negative. But I truly believe that karma comes back to you in a positive. I believe that people that you meet along the way on your journey in life, that there are people who are good karma. People who you meet that you click with, that you'll become your friends. I think they're good karma. you know, but we may not see it like that, but they are. And David says, I think it's a lot deeper than we think. And then Shelly says, not to me. Okay. No problem. No problem. I was out earlier today doing what you were doing. You know, so see, David, welcome. You have the mic.
Oh, I didn't expect you to do it that fast.
Well, you click. I click.
Yeah, I think it's a lot deeper. I think we control our own karma, and by that, what I mean is, let me give you an example. Let's just say you go to a service station and you find a person who asks you to buy them something to eat. Now, I think that you have to understand the reason why are you going to do that. Now, I'm not talking about the bum that says, hey, you got $5 because he's going to go get high or get something to drink. I'm talking
not necessarily. Don't stereotype.
Wait a minute. Well, I did that to eliminate him out of that conversation.
Okay.
So now you have to ask yourself, why are you doing this? Why are you going into the store, spending your money to buy this person something to eat? Now, there's two pathways right there. You can do it because some religious doctrine said you had to do it. But if you remove that religious doctrine or whatever it is, would you do it? And the answer, most people would probably say no. Now, the reason that someone would say, yeah, I would do it, is because they recognize the hunger is a human need. Now, once you can see a human need in each other and in someone else, then I think that right there in itself will spark good karma. Now, if you do it for any other reason other than connection to this person's energy or divine light or samadhi or whichever pathway you're taking, then I think that that in itself can bring bad karma because you didn't do it genuinely.
But David, you really believe that most people would not do something, a good deed for someone else?
Yeah, pretty much. Look at the world we live in. Now, just think about it. Now, right about now, I'm scared to go into banks and supermarkets, so I have no chance of meeting these people now. But the thing about it is I think most of the time we would, for the simple fact that we have become so self-centered. And we live in a me society where it's all about me. And rightfully so, your world should all be about you. But there are other things that affect your world. In other words, you're just one among many and all energies are connected. It's like yin yang, the Chinese symbol of light and darkness. You can either walk completely in the light and that's messed up, or you can walk completely in the darkness. I think man in itself walks in the center. And when you walk in the center, that means that from day to day, then you have to choose the pathway. Do you do something good today, which may symbol light, as far as from the heart, or do you just say, hell no, go down to the mission and grab a chicken leg, and you go on about your business? You see what I'm saying? So that would be considered a concept of darkness.
Okay, but for me personally, it's like, I don't know how many times I can say that, you know, if I'm in the, you know, parking lot of the market or something like that, and I see somebody that is struggling, you know, with trying to, you know, put their bags or whatever in the car, I will go over and I will say, you know, do you need help? Now, some of them may look at me, you know, sideways because they may think I'm about to knock them upside their head. But right. I always say something. And then for women, one thing that bugs me about women, and I truly say this, guys, I say this all the time when I see women doing this. When I see women in the parking lot and they're putting stuff from their cart into their trunk or whatever, and they leave their purse in their cart, I always walk over to them and say, ma'am, you should not leave your cart, your purse in your cart. You should put it inside of your car. or keep it on you, because anybody can come by and just snatch your purse. And right. I say that all the time, because I truly am concerned about this person possibly, you know, getting their purse snatched. I am that person, and I'm just gonna say this, you know, and I've seen a lot of people who don't do this. I have seen people drop stuff, and people just, and other people see it, and it's like, I know y'all saw that this person just dropped something, and I will go over, I'll say, excuse me, sir, ma'am, whatever, you dropped this, and I'll pick it up. Why? Because I want people to do the same thing for me.
Correct. But see, you got principles and standards that most people don't have, and you live by them.
Do you think it's the fact that they don't have them, or do you think that people are just afraid to say something?
I think it's a little bit of both, because you have to look at, well, the world in which you live in, then yeah, it is a truly violent world, and it only takes a moment. You don't know how this person is having a good day or a bad day, or you may look like somebody they mad at or whatever, but... And a lot of times it's not developed either. I mean, when I grew up, it was always thank you and all the rest of this stuff. But how many of our youth really from the 80s now, how many of those actually really had that home training in those manners growing up? You know, it was all about being a gangster. It was all about the money. So I think a lot of them just didn't develop it. And when you get in your 40s and 50s, and if you didn't develop that in an early age, then 9 times out of 10, it's going to take something life-shattering for you to actually really go back and take a look at that, because most people don't look behind them, they look in front of them.
Now that I do believe is true for some people, and I don't know if you were on when I said this, that some people, if you know, their ego may be so huge, or they're a narcissist or whatever, that, you know, what is it going to take for them to, you know, for their karma to come back? But I do believe that their karma is coming. All these people, and I look at politicians, I look at athletes, you know, people on TV, movies, whatever. You know, it's like, while you're so busy walking around saying, you know, you're this diva, you know, there is, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard this from a lot of different sources, that Beyonce is one of those people that, you know, if she's staying at a hotel and if you are around her, don't look at her, don't call her, don't look her way, you know, whatever. And I'm thinking, you know, if this is true, and I have worked in the industry, being around people who are like that, it just always just kind of made me laugh. Like, who are you to put yourself so high up above? But one day that karma is going to come back to you when that person who you didn't want looking at you, you're going to need them, because you're going to need them for help. Somewhere along the way, you're going to need the person that you're looking down on. So that karma is going to come back to you in that way.
That's a good analogy. But I mean, with the entertainment industry, I don't know if you could say that, because, you know, most of the time, and when you look at entertainers, creativity also is very close to schizophrenia too. The greater the talent, the more schizophrenic the person is, because most people can't write music. Most people don't have that creativity to actually hear the harmony and the harmonies between harmonies. So I don't know if you could use that as a good example on that. But as far as some of them, now some of them just arrogant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some
But David, but if you have that person, and again, these are people who I saw who were not big stars then, but now they are huge. Or people who I knew were just huge stars. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's like. Right. I see there when they were that humble person, and because of the type of job they're in, or the type of people I've seen them turn into these monsters, But at the same time, I've met people who are, you know, well known, way up there, you know, and they are just some of the nicest people. You know, it's like, you know, just some of the nicest people. But the ones that, not all, but some of the ones who, you know, had to scrape or whatever, it's like, you know, when they make it, they turn into that person who, don't talk to me. Talk to my assistant. How dare you? I mean, it's like, seriously?
Right.
Or, you know, my water isn't, you know, cold enough. Seriously? Right. I'm like, if you want cold water, you need to go get your own ice. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, but I do believe that those people are going to get karma. I do believe that it's going to come back to them. But the ones that, and I'm not just talking about people in entertainment, but I also believe that people who put out good things will happen to them.
Well, now, okay, but let's look at the flip side of this, because I don't know if you noticed that, but evil people take a long time to die. Have you noticed that?
You know what? You know, that's an interesting saying. Evil people take a long time to die.
They do. And now it could be, okay, now you could say karma. Is it the karma that they keep living because they must suffer before they enter the afterlife? Forget the heaven or hell concept, but must they suffer before they enter the afterlife? Because you can take the most evil person. He's been evil from birth, all the way up. He'll live a long time. He'll get all kinds of chances. You see what I'm saying? I mean, let's look at, I'm just gonna give you one that you might understand. Let's look at David Koresh. Now, the things that he done before the Branch Davidian, I mean, well, he's not really a good example because he was kind of young. But what I'm saying is his concept of just one evil mantra after the other. And I've known older guys the same way, a lot older than I am. And they still continue to do their evil deeds and nothing. Nothing seems to stop
him. Okay, so
used to say, it seemed like God is afraid of this devil.
okay, so have you seen the movie The Bad Seed?
I have.
Okay, so, and I'm talking about the original from like 1950 something.
Yeah, I saw the original.
Okay. So first, let me ask this. Going on what you just said, do you believe that people are born bad? Or born evil?
You know, I have wrestled with that concept. I don't want to, because of the spirituality I follow, I don't believe that a baby is born either good or bad. I believe that baby is born as a blank slate, you know, and it's going to be the worldly influences that way he's going to determine is either bad or good. But I tell you what, at 55 now, I'm starting to rethink that. I think some of them may be born evil. I know that's bad to say, but
no, because my next question was, because I do believe that you have children who may have been the only child, or maybe they weren't. Maybe they were the maybe they were the youngest, and then mom and dad, you know, all of a sudden this other baby pops up, and you have some children who are jealous, where they are actually trying to do harm to their siblings. So is that just something that's off? Is that something that they will grow out of? Because hey, mom and baby, welcome. So I mean, you know, it's like you look at Jeffrey Dahmer. He was killing animals at a very young age. Correct. Very young. So I mean, but you also have some children who are like that. There are some children, you know, who, you know,
that's
two,
true,
3 years old, who are purposely hurting the family dog or the family cat. Do they grow out of that, or is that something where they will grow up to be a serial killer? Is
you know
that
what?
Their karma? I mean, you know.
That's a really good question. But my thing is, okay, how did this baby or this child incur such monstrous karma?
Okay, so again, that's when I come back to the whole bad seed thing. Are people born evil? Are people born evil where they will just have this evil karma that's around them until the day that they die? And no matter what you try to do, they will always just be that bad person. They will always just be evil.
Yeah, but now I think on that aspect, you may be talking about two different things, because I see karma as being a reaction to an action, you know, from, you know, the world around you as far as your journey toward samadhi or nirvana or whatever you think the outcome is. Now, sound like what you're talking about is something a little bit deeper, like possession.
Well, I mean, okay, but am I possessed? If I'm born evil, am I possessed, or am I just evil?
You know what? That's a very good question. Now,
because go ahead. No, I was just gonna say, because when you say possessed, I'm thinking of Linda Blair and the exorcism, where it's possible to have a priest come over and do whatever, and then that, you know, that evil spirit's gone. So again, I'm like, are these people possessed, or are they born evil? Because I do believe that people are born evil. I believe their karma is just evil.
I can go with you on that, except I don't see karma as being, because I see karma as being a reaction to an action. Then I can't see. To me, it sounds more like you're talking about the whole concept of light and darkness in which you're going to travel. When you start talking about Linda Blair, let's take that one, The Exorcist. Okay, I'm not really just into the thought that the devil can possess you unless you invite him in. You see what I'm saying? And that could have been done through literature. It could have been done through, you know, because that story was taken from a true account of a little boy in St. Louis, I believe.
Right.
I look at it as being like, you know, when the Christians go to church, well, if you're going to invite God in, then he's coming in. Well, I look at it the same way. If you invite the devil in, then he's probably coming in too.
Okay. Hold on. Let me, because I do want to comment on that. I just want to read some of these comments before I get behind. Uh-huh. Okay. Shelby says, sure. My karma situation is completely strange and people will not consider it to be karma. Minnesota says, you guys are getting deep. And see. And over on YouTube, Kareem says, this is a great conversation. And he wanted to know who I was speaking with, David, and I had to tell him I was over on Podbean. So David, your comment, again, I go back to, and I'm using the bad seed as an example, because that movie, you know, every time I see that movie, I've seen it many, 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 many times. It's still, you know, when the movie ends, and I'm sorry guys, I'm gonna give spoiler if you all have not seen the bad seed, you know, but the ending, I won't say what happens, but her karma does, I mean, she gets her karma at the end, you know, and she gets her karma, you know, in a way where this is what you were trying to do to somebody else, and now this happens to you. So, again, I say, somebody like Jeffrey Dahmer, he did all those bad things to all those boys. But then he ends up going to prison, and he ends up getting killed. He doesn't end up, I mean, no one ends up eating him or anything, but his karma is that you died a violent death the way you live in a violent way, and you're dying a violent death. So again, I come back to, are these people born this way, or did they sniff glue when they were little? I mean, seriously. I mean, no, I'm totally serious, because I think that some people are born broken. I truly do. I believe that people are just born broken. I do believe that people can learn to be in a broken way. When you go into a church and you kill people who welcome you in to their prayer circle, and you end up killing them, I think that that person learned to be that way at such a young age. I think that he was influenced by people. But I think that the Jeffrey Dahmers and stuff, I think they're just broken.
Now, when it comes to Jeffrey Dahmer, I would look at his karma as this. Okay, so you know he was cooking brothers and eating brothers too now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now when he went to jail, he was also killed by a brother. So therefore, predator and prey. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can look at that and say that was his karma, was to be killed by the very people that you were killing.
But he still, yeah, true. But yet he still died the same way he lived. He died a violent death.
Correct. Because he had done such violent things, then he had to die that violent death. But now, wait a minute. You brought up something about, you know, a prayer circle. Now you have to bring up the concept of Jim Jones.
Okay.
Now, was those people that were poisoned in Guyana, would you say that was bad karma? Or how would you see that? Because honestly, if you really look at it, they were kind of innocent. They just followed him, being the prophet of God or whatever. They followed him, and this is what happened.
Okay, so is it bad karma for those innocent people, or was it wrong place, wrong time? And is wrong, and if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, is that bad karma? Just like yesterday when in Kentucky, all those, you know, those five people who were killed inside of a bank, is that wrong place, uh-huh, wrong time, or were they just their karma was just bad?
Well, I think now for that, you might have to look at the lives of each individual.
Okay, so can you say the same thing for Jim Jones? You have to look at the lives of each person. For those 900 people or 700 people, whatever it was, you know, was it their karma that led them to Jim Jones? Or, you know, did they do something bad in their, you know, in their previous life or in their life in general, that led them there, and that's how they were going to end?
You know what? That is a very good question. I mean, but now also don't forget that we are also a product of our environment. And there have been a lot of things that were put in place that could give that, or in other words, that could open that one pathway, and that's the only pathway you have. And by that, when I'm going back to Jim Jones. Now, look at most of those people that followed him. Most of those people were downtrodden. And not only were they downtrodden, they pretty much had exhausted every avenue that you could name. Because, okay, you're talking about the 70s, the 60s and the 70s. And we know that the 60s was a very turbulent time for both black and white in the U.S. So now you got all of these strange laws coming up. You got city and state, federal laws coming up. And everybody is now turning to the one thing they think that gives them hope. And that was, unfortunately, Jim Jones. Now, at some point in time, there were warning signs. Because when you look at the inside story of the survivors and they talk about how they were treated in Los Angeles. Now, if you're treated like that in Los Angeles, ain't no way in hell I'm going to Guyana with you. You see what I'm saying? So now how is it that he could talk these people into going to a foreign country and you being treated bad right here? I mean, I look at that as being, okay, my late wife used to work at a center where these women used to call in and say, well, you know, boyfriend, husband, whatever, and beat them up. And they used to give them a bus ticket away from them to their farthest relative. And you turn around 2 weeks later, they're back. Now, if you done beat my ass one time, I mean, it ain't like I'm coming back to you. You see what I'm saying? So what makes them come back? And what, I think that's the same thing that made those people follow Jim Jones to a foreign country.
But but you're putting a time stamp on it. You're saying the 60s or 70s, because I see that now. What makes people follow a certain person? What makes people follow a certain person that I think, me personally, and I'm not going to say any names, but I think this person is just pure evil. But people follow them. So when you look at churches, we have so many cults. I mean, a lot of churches to me are cults, but you have a lot of people out there who are following other people. Hey, crazy lady and Ellie, you have people who are following evil. So I don't think that evil has a time stamp on it. I mean, you look at Germany, you know, during World War II, you had practically an entire country following an evil man. And look at what this man was able to do. So was that correct, their karma to follow this person?
I know exactly what... I know exactly where you're going with that. Now, don't forget now, when you start talking about people like Jim Jones, Adolf Hitler, and all the rest of these people, they are also very charismatic too. Not only that, you got to look at what these people do. They understand where you at. Now, what Hitler did was he blamed all of Germany's economic strife on the Jewish nation. Those were just one. I mean, but he blamed it on everything that wasn't Aryan. Okay, now if you got a lot of out-of-work Germans and stuff like that, and a loaf of bread is a trillion Deutschmarks, well, yeah, you're going to follow this guy because he's promising to bring jobs. And to his credit, now he did, because he created the Autobahn and several other. And when you're rearming for war, you need people to work. Jim Jones, on the other hand, what he did was he captured the fact of, okay, you're black, you're downtrodden, they've beaten you, you can't go here, because in the 60s they still had the signs, whites only, colored restroom, white reading room, whatever. You see what I'm saying? So he fed into that, and so that pulled them in. Now, the thing about that is I don't think with the Germans, and I don't think even with those downtrodden people, they had much choice, for the simple fact that now they're looking for an out. You can't go over here. You can't eat in this restaurant. And every time you try to build something, there's always something coming to destroy your neighborhoods. And then you got to look at the abuse that was suffered, police abuse that's still going on, that nothing has changed on that. So I think it was very easy for him to corral them in like that. Now, the thing about it is you can still got to have some common sense. You sound good, but then the first time I got to give up everything that I've worked for, give up all my money to you and all the rest of this stuff, that right there was a sign that, no, I think it needs to be exit stage left. But you've always heard, well, God works in mysterious ways. Because I've heard that. God works in mysterious ways.
Well, so. Yes. I mean, yes. So, let me put you on pause for a minute, David, and let me go over to Ellie. Ellie, welcome. Sure.
Hi, Sally, and hi, David, and hi, everyone. Yeah, you're talking about karma, right? Okay, I used to believe karma, but not anymore.
Okay, and why?
Because of the things that happen here, you know. So many people and children have been killed, but you know, the murderer never punished, you know, never been punished, and they're living better even
now. Before you came on, Ellie, David made a comment which I know is just going to stay with me, and I'm going to think about it a lot. He said evil takes a long time to die. Do you agree with that?
Well, evil people take a long
time. I'm sorry. Evil people take a long time to die.
I guess he's kind of right.
Okay. And the reason why I asked that is because you just said that the murderers are never caught and they're living well, you know. So you don't think that sooner or later, though, that the people who are killing people in your country are sooner or later going to get theirs?
I can't say that because, you know, we are in a tough situation and we can't predict, you know, what's going on next.
Okay.
But, you know, it's been around 33 years that they are, you know, they are doing this.
So do you think that the innocent people who have been killed, and not just in your country, and David, I'm just saying this also, but I'm going to let Ellie answer first. Do you believe that the innocent people who die, in the end, they will be rewarded? Maybe not necessarily on Earth because they're gone, but do you believe that they will be rewarded in an afterlife?
I don't know, to be honest. The thing is, you know, that is, you know, sad, is that, you know, we can't take them back.
Okay.
Because, yeah, they were young, they, you know, they had dreams, and now they are not alive anymore.
Okay. Now, one thing that I do believe, and y'all have heard me say many, many times, I want to live to be 100. I don't want to die on my birthday. I want to die at least the day after my birthday. I want to have a full 24 hours of being 100. You know, but I do believe that we are all here for a certain amount of time. I believe that there is a book or whatever that says when you're born, you're only going to be here for 10 years. You're only going to be here for 2 months. You're going to be here for 130 years. You're going to be here for 97 years or 81 years or whatever. I truly believe that when we're born, that it's already predetermined how long we're going to be on this earth. So in terms of having dreams, yeah, we all have dreams and, you know, things that we want to do when you're an infant. No, you know, those dreams, no. But at the same time, who knows what, if an infant can't even think or whatever. But I do believe that we are all here for a predetermined time. And when we pass away, whether we are well known or we are that child that died at the age of eight months, I do believe that the people who knew that child, that child has affected them in some way that's going to be positive. So, anybody?
And Sally,
you got into some spooky stuff.
If there is another possibility, you know, like there is no afterlife world. So, what do you think?
I think that there is. I think for me, I think heaven, it does exist. I think that people will, you know, may not get their karma that is due them on earth, but they will get it in an afterlife. And that afterlife may be, you know, being welcomed into heaven or being sent to hell. I think that, as David said, that evil people take a long, long time to die. I think that those people, you know, are either going to die, like we were talking about, like Jeffrey Dahmer, a horrible, you know, painful death, or they're going to get it in afterlife. I do believe that an afterlife exists. I believe that if you are an evil person, that your the rest of your life, your afterlife, is going to be pure hell.
Interesting.
I know, y'all. We got deep on this one.
But now, wait a minute. Now, my question to you two is this. Okay, let's take it from a perspective. Now, I grew up in the Arkansas Delta, and the one thing that I noticed people will say is this. Now, it's the concept of forgiveness. Well, they think that they can ask God to forgive them and totally overskip you. So, and my whole thing is this. Now, if you go on that principle alone, then all Hitler had to say was, well, Lord, forgive me, and he could be in heaven with you.
No, but
now, how is that?
Okay.
Now, hold on. But I don't think that's set too comfortable with a lot of people.
No, but at the same time, though, is it sincere? I mean, if you're going around and you're Hitler and you're killing people, you're like, well, you know, God will forgive me, you know, later. No, I don't think God will, because you're not sincere. You know, I don't think that those people who are on death row and they're walking, you know, those last minutes to the chair or, you know, wherever they're going to die, and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. Well, no, you should have been sorry. You know, the last, you know, when you went on death row, you should have been sorry instead of being arrogant, whatever. All of a sudden you're sorry because you're about to die. And that's just like when people say bad things or they tell bad jokes, whatever, and they're like, well, I was just kidding. No, you were just kidding because you got caught.
Right.
You know, so right. it's something like that. No, but I want to read what Juju says. She says, my parents were old school. They believed that their children were only going to be here for a certain amount of time. And that's why they took insurance on us children. I have insurance on my son. I took it out when he was younger, but it wasn't because I thought that he was going to get killed or anything. I just believe if you're able, I believe that everyone should have insurance. We have insurance. I don't want my son to have to worry about my husband and I, you know, he shouldn't have to worry about that stuff when we're gone. But David, no, seriously, I just think that, no, I mean, if you're not sincere, then don't sit up here and say, oh, well, God, no, I don't think God does. I don't think he works like that. Don't just pull right. the guy but card now, the when it's convenient.
About, but now the thing about that is that's used as a scapegoat.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So now, okay, his the same thing is, but now if you're on the other end of that, now you think about that, you're on the other end of that, because my mom have a sister that will do it in a heartbeat. Well, do you forgive me? Oh, hell no, I ain't forgiving you for that. Well, the Lord had already forgave me anyway. Oh, okay. And then, you know, she going to use a good cussing from me. But the thing about it is it's used as a scapegoat. Now, people like that is going to try to put themselves above you. But now, where is that karma? That karma is the fact of, well, she's damn near 100 years old, and she's still right in the middle of all of her evil in the little small town. And it's almost like, what's wrong? Okay, so what's wrong with the cemetery? How come you ain't made it there yet? You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I can point to several people and say, you know, I can give you a ride there if you need to.
No,
my
I mean,
mother is one of them.
I mean, you know, I mean, there are some people that you wonder, like, why are you still here? I mean, right. You know, I mean, but I do like what Ellie says. She says, I personally focus in this world and I believe we can build our own paradise or hell by ourselves. Very true. I'm not saying that the afterlife is a lie or doesn't exist, but I consider it. But I consider all the aspects and possibilities. I try to make the best use of my life because no one can assure me about the other world. Very true. So, Ellie, you want to go further with that, or?
Oh yeah, please do. It'd be Ellie? Interesting to see where it goes.
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening.
No, do you want to go further with what you said about, you know, building your own paradise?
No, it was just my own, you know, belief. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. You know, and I think that is true. I do believe that we do build our own paradise or hell here on Earth, but I do believe that paradise or hell can lead to, you know, can put us in a way where our karma could be negative or positive.
True. I believe
you
that.
Know, I,
have
you know.
Tried any cases or stories, Sally? No? Like a person who treated you very bad and then, you know, he or she got response, you know, from karma?
Yeah, in fact, I can tell you that. Well, if this person, I doubt if he even knows I have this show, but there was a person that I dated in my 20s, and it was not good. And when I finally, you know, when the light bulb went off in my head, it's like, what the hell are you doing with this person? And I left this person. They got their karma. And they got it through nothing that I did, but something that someone else that I knew did. And how can I say this?
You can just say he got his comeuppance.
He got his comeuppance, but he got it in a way where his brother ended up calling me saying, so-and-so is in the hospital and he really wants to see you. And this was like a year after we had broken up. And I'm like, I'm not interested, whatever. And they're like, oh, you know, could you please go? He really wants to see you, really wants to see you. So I went, not expecting, I didn't know what I was going to, I didn't know why he was there. But when I went and I saw that literally what had happened to him, I started to gloat, like, you know, I don't know who did this to you, but I'm happy that they did.
Oh, damn.
You know, and you know, because, you know, and when I found out that who did it, and they were two friends of mine who always looked out for me, and to this day they still do. And they were like, this guy was just bad, you know, whatever. I went back to the hospital and I whispered something in his ear, and he looked at me, and I just walked away with a smile on my face. Now, I believe that karma is something that when you do things to people, good or bad, sooner or later, it's going to come back to you. If you do good things, I truly believe that sooner or later, something good is going to happen to you. And I understand that there are people who live in this world and things always just seem to go wrong. But I truly believe that sometimes we're so focused on the negative, and like I said before, we don't see the positive. We don't see the positive, you know, even if it's that person who, you know, you may be going through something in your home life, and you go to school, and that teacher you have or that friend that you have is the one highlight of your day. I think that's good karma. I truly, truly do. And I truly believe that those parents that abuse their children, men who abuse their wives who have abused their husbands, you know, people who disrespect their parents, whatever, I truly believe that those people are going to end up with children who abuse them or who don't treat them so well. I think that it's a cycle. But I think that karma is very real. I truly, truly do. So on that note, I am going to give everybody their last words. David, I'll start with you. You have any last words before we take it out with our song?
I believe that you are correct, but I think that we have to establish what is karma and what is the result of it. In other words, is it a reaction to an action, which could be a thought? Bad thought brings bad thoughts, energies. So I think the karma is very real. I just think we have to understand exactly the operating dynamics of it, you know.
Okay. Okay. And again, I put the definition, Hinduism identifies karma as the relationship between a person's mental or physical action and the consequences following that action. Welcome, Chris.
Correct.
You know, so, okay. So Ellie, do you have any last words?
No matter of you know, that karma is true or not, humanity always wins.
But is karma, okay, but is karma part of that humanity, though?
Yeah.
I mean, so...
But I don't, you know, I don't think about that. Even the other word doesn't exist, doesn't matter to me. I just like to be nice.
Okay. Okay. And I think nice is good. I think if more of us were nice, maybe we wouldn't be living the way. Maybe we wouldn't be living the way we are now, that if everyone was just nice. Mm-hmm. So, whew, y'all, another show. Ellie and David, thank you for popping up. David, you had a lot to say there. So no, because I always listen to the replay of my shows, and I listen to what people say, and you know, people always give me something, you know, to think about. And I like what Ellie says. She says about we build our own paradise or hell by ourselves. And David, what you said about, you know, evil people take a long time to die.
Right.
You know, and, yeah. And you are like looking around like, they're not dead yet. Are they still here? You know, I mean, people could say that about me. I don't know, you know, but you are right. You do tend to look at some people like, why are you still here? You know, and as we've all heard the saying, that why does God seem to take the, you know, good ones? So I don't know. I do believe there's a reason for everything. I just don't know what those reasons are. So, but on that note, guys, I'm going to clear the panel, and I'm going to take it out with a little bit of Marvin Gaye today.
Okay.
Marvin Gaye.
I bet you're wondering how I knew.
Okay, and on that note, everyone enjoy their day or evening wherever you are in the world. Thank you very much for coming, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Bye.